You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
I'm in the middle of a series of one-to-one conversations with a client at the moment, which I find exciting. Now, you might find the conversation that we're having intriguing because of its content, which I'll explain obviously in just a moment. I'm not going to leave you hanging there. But I'm not intrigued by it because I've seen it happen so many times before. But I am excited by it because I can see the excitement building up in the client as a string of what we call synchronicities are falling into place to enable them move effortlessly in the direction that they didn't know they wanted to go at the start of our conversations. Now, there's a whole load of things going on in that statement that I've just made, and we may come back to some of them during the course of this particular episode, but the one thing I want to zone in on straight away is synchronicities happening for this individual. One of my online program owners posted something on our private Facebook group, The Psychology of Success, a couple of weeks ago, where she said she was looking for feedback from other people. She said that she was thinking about asking somebody for their assistance in promoting her business. And one of the comments back to her from another program owner was, why ask? Why not let it happen? This is what I want to talk about here. Because very often in life, or almost all of the time in life, we trip ourselves up by trying too hard to get what we think we want. Now, that's another loaded statement, actually, because I didn't say getting what we want. I said getting what we think we want. Now, we've had that conversation before, and very often when we use our minds normally, or actually all of the time when we use our minds normally, what we think we want isn't what we actually want, and it certainly isn't going to give us the satisfaction or life-changing experience that we think it might give us. You see, I've used the word think a few times there, and we all know that thinking, any thinking, leads to overthinking and leads to us continually feeding the inner beast that is continually, every day, on a loop, thinking about ourselves, thinking about how undeserving we are, thinking about our perceived inadequacies, thinking about why things should go wrong for us, what ifing, the worst case scenarios, rather than saying to ourselves, what if this actually works out? Now, I don't want to go off in that direction here. Now, I do want to come back and focus on the key message from this, and I'll give it to you straight away right at the start. The one thing that'll stop you getting what you want is trying too hard. Every weekend, and indeed night in, night out, if you turn on your sports channels, you will see people trying too hard to do what they are supposed to be doing, and you'll see these exceptional players just doing it. Maybe Nike had it right. We need to just do it. Indeed, I had an interesting conversation with our program owners on Zoom a couple of weeks ago, where I made the point that we do our best when we don't have time to think about it. That's how we operated in evolutionary times. If we were confronted by a life-threatening situation, we didn't have time to think about what we needed to do to save ourselves. We just saved ourselves. In the same way, people in our own age take on what they would consider to be superhuman powers when they are confronted with an emergency. Because they don't have time to think about what they need to do, they just do it. So when I say the one thing that'll stop you getting what you want is trying too hard to get it, actually, it's the thinking that leads to the trying. Thinking is at the root of all evil in our lives. The one thing that is at the root of every problem on this planet is thinking. thinking that I'm different from you and I need to compete with you, thinking that my God is better than yours and I need to kill you. Thinking is at the root of every problem on this planet. But we're not going to solve every problem on this planet in this podcast, but perhaps we can change your little world. I've worked with people over the last 28 years who, by stopping trying too hard, have changed their worlds beyond recognition and changed their lives in a way that their thinking mind could never have imagined. Because your thinking mind is very small-minded indeed. So, back to the conversation I'm having with my client at the moment, one-to-one. When we started talking first, they weren't sure in which direction they wanted to go. From a business point of view, I'm talking about now. They weren't sure about so many things that they were trying to come up with a plan that would fit into the kind of structure that their thinking mind thought would enable them to move forward. And unfortunately, as I said a few minutes ago, all thinking leads to overthinking. So they had actually strangled themselves in thought. Now, after just one conversation, they realized the direction in which they really needed to go. After two conversations, they realized that a number of the things that they needed to happen to enable them to move in that direction were already falling into place. You see, when you pour your energy into the direction that you want any project to go, or indeed the big project, the direction which you want your life to go, then it isn't that the universe conspires to provide you with synchronicities. Opportunities abound all the time. But once we know the direction that feels right for us to move in, those opportunities become for us synchronicities because we now recognize them as a signpost on our journey, or should I say, a signpost related to the next step that we need to take on that journey. And these steps that we take are actions. The one thing that'll stop you taking action is thinking about it or thinking about how difficult it might be to take the action. In other words, as a result of thinking that way, taking the action requires that you try too hard. You're fighting against yourself. You're fighting against your own inner self-doubts and your own, never mind the self-doubts, just your own thought processes that will strangle you, that are strangling you, that tie us in knots and root us to the spot. I recollect a conversation with another client, one-to-one. One of my very first online program owners, so we're talking about 2019 when I had this particular conversation. This girl is a consultant specializing in a particular aspect of corporate leadership. We had a conversation one Wednesday afternoon, and we talked about how things fall into your lap when you stop trying. Now, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you will have heard one of our signature phrases, things fall into your lap. How many times have I used that expression? Or should I need to correct myself, should I say, how many times have my clients, my online program owners, people with whom I've worked over the last 28 years, how many times have they said to me, it feels like what I needed to happen just happened. It feels like my achievement fell into my lap. Now, obviously, that describes a totally different reality to the reality of somebody that is trying too hard. These people aren't trying at all. They're just doing, and they're just doing it without the encumbrance or the impediment of thought. So in other words, they're doing it in free flow. They're doing it effortlessly. And Effortlessly is actually a neuroscientific fact. Neuroscientific research has shown that when we know the direction we're traveling in and we know what to expect and we know how it will feel like, that's why we've talked in other conversations about setting your mind to how the outcome will feel when it falls into your lap. When we do things that way, we use almost no neural energy. Now, the one thing that burns neural energy in our brain is thinking. So thinking is actually what is keeping you, as I said a few minutes ago, rooted to the spot. Thinking is forcing you to force yourself against your thoughts. And that is where the real trying comes from. We've had previous conversations in relation to stress. And I've pointed out in those previous conversations that stress is a choice you make. And that comes as a slap across the face to most people when they hear it first, because they realize that perhaps the illness from which they're suffering as a result of stress was self-inflicted. And I'm not talking about a cold or a flu. I'm talking about serious illness. I'm talking about cardiovascular illness. I'm talking about cancer, self-inflicted as a result of stress. Now, stress is a choice that you make. The corollary to that, of course, is that if you stop making that choice, there is no more stress. It really is as simple as that. In the same way as other people say to me, you know, I really have to try hard here. This is a struggle. No, struggle is you thinking about what a struggle it might be. Stop thinking about the struggle and there is no struggle. Stop thinking that you have to try hard, and you'll simply and effortlessly do what you need to do to lead you to your very personal promised land. But back to the conversation that I had in February or March 2019. It was the second or third of a series of 6 one-to-one conversations. We'd been talking about how the one thing that'll stop you getting what you want is trying too hard. Indeed, most people think they have to work hard to be a success. Most people think that success comes from working hard. We had an episode a few weeks ago, and again, I'll remind you of the title of that, How to Work Smarter, Not Harder. That could have been subtitled, How to Stop Trying, How to Do What You Need to Do Effortlessly. Anyway, we had an hour-long conversation on this Wednesday afternoon back in the early spring of 2019. And after that conversation, my client decided that she would do nothing more for the rest of the day, that she would go out for a stroll on the beach. So she wrapped up well. It's Ireland we're talking about. Even in the midst of summer, you might have to wrap up well to go out for a walk on the beach in Ireland. Anyway, she went out for a walk on the beach. She went out for about a 90-minute walk, good long walk. I got a phone call just before dinner time that evening. And she said, I went out for a walk after that conversation, not to reflect on what we had discussed, but to ensure that I just went with the flow. She said, halfway through my walk on the beach, my mobile phone rang. And she said, it was this gent. Somebody that I had met at a leadership conference 6 years earlier. Now, remember, my client is a consultant specializing in a particular aspect of leadership in the corporate world. Big ticket business when you get it. Anyway, she said, this person rang me out of the blue. I had met him at a conference 6 years ago. I said to myself at the time, wouldn't I love to work with that individual? Wouldn't I love if he gave me a consultancy role to help him and his leadership team? It would be manna from heaven. It would be my ideal client. She said, I contacted him afterwards. So she contacted him after their initial meeting 6 years ago, just for a chat, and nothing came of it. But out of the blue, 6 years later, while she was out doing nothing, he rang her and asked her, would she meet him for a cup of coffee, because he wanted her to work with himself one-to-one and his team of 12 senior people, the leadership team in the organization. The client that her heart desired fell into her lap. She did nothing. She got out of her own way. She wasn't trying at all. In exactly the same way, if you are an online program owner, by the way, you will know the person that I'm about to mention here, because he turns up on Zoom, on our Wednesday evening regular Zooms, regularly. And over the course of the last couple of years, this individual, when he bought the online program first, he had suffered a heart attack as a result of stress and had stopped working in the corporate world because it was bad for him, basically. And he had become a consultant. But when I met him, just after he bought the online program, he told me that he wasn't getting the same buzz that he used to get when he was a CEO, and he decided that he'd like to get back into the corporate world. And he had an ideal job or a dream job in mind. I said, you need to set your mind. You need to handwrite how it'll feel, how you will feel when you have landed that big job. In other words, you need to handwrite, as if you're already experiencing it now, the excitement of this simply falling into your lap. He handwrote what my program owners know as his perfect moment. All of my program owners at one point or another will have written, I was going to say a perfect moment for themselves, but life is supposed to be full of perfect moments. So they're continually writing perfect moments. Again, we've talked about that before. We've talked about it recently in relation to the science behind setting your mind, giving your subconscious mind or your inner compass the coordinates of the direction in which you want a project to go, or as I said a few minutes ago, the grand project, the direction in which you want your life to go. Anyway, this particular individual would come on our Wednesday evening Zooms and said, I did this interview and that interview and nothing has fallen into my lap. And everybody kept saying to him, myself included, you need to just keep at it. And as I said to him, and I would say to you, because I say it to everybody, we get impatient waiting for the perfect moment to happen. Now, impatience is a symptom of trying too hard. And when people get impatient with themselves or with the universe or with me, if people get impatient or when people get impatient, I will always say to them, look, the perfect moment will happen in the right way at the right time. The perfect moment will happen in the perfect moment. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the perfect moment. Now, when you say it like that, they go, oh, right, okay, yeah, get it now. Anyway, this guy would turn up on our Wednesday evening Zooms for months on end. And it eventually got to the point where he told me that, and this is a quote, I've gone beyond caring. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't care anymore. What that means is I've stopped trying. I'm not going to push it anymore. I'm going to let whatever happens happen. He told me that on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, he got a telephone call to ask him, what was he doing on the Friday? He was invited to an interview about a 3-hour drive away on the Friday morning. And he said to himself, well, first of all, I don't know how I have got this opportunity. I don't think I applied for this job. It wasn't clear from the telephone call that I've just had as to how they got my name. But he said, I decided that I would go on that 3-hour drive, in other words, a 6-hour round trip, because it would clear my mind and sure, wouldn't I have a nice day out? I'll probably treat myself to lunch somewhere on the way back. So he drove the 3 hours, had the conversation without a care in the world. He said he'd gone beyond caring at this stage. Got back into his car, stopped somewhere nice for lunch on the way back. And whilst he was having his lunch, he got a telephone call confirming that he was being offered his dream job. He had stopped trying. Now, that is the key thing that you need to understand. The one thing that'll stop you getting what you want in your life is trying too hard, trying at all, trying actually means that I'm trying to do what I need to do through the fog of thought that tells me you need to try hard. You need to work hard to be a success. You need to do a load of stuff that in actual fact you don't need to do at all. I don't know in what movie, one of these romantic comedies, that some girl said to the male lead that she wasn't sure what kind of impression she was making on him, or words to that effect. I can't remember the details. To which he replied, he said, for most men, a good date is where the woman actually turns up. Now, that isn't the direct quote, but in that quote, there is wisdom. What you need to do to achieve greatness in any aspect of your life or the big project of your life is to simply turn up. We know from previous conversations that 96% of people on this planet, what I call normal crazy people, don't turn up to their lives. They miss their lives completely. What do I mean by that? They're not present in the here and now. They turn up, for example, to an interview, wondering, are they making the right impression? And as I've said to many people over the years, if you're wondering about whether or not you're making the right impression, you're making no impression at all, because your energy is going into wondering, not being there. We know, because science tells us so, that if your ability to turn up to your life were a large bucket of water, a drip of you would turn up to the here and now if you're using your mind normally. A spit of you, that's about the height of it. Why? Because the vast majority of the water in your bucket would be leaking out a hole in the bottom that takes your attention all the way back to the past. Because that's how the normal mind actually works. And there's a hole in the side of your bucket where whatever is left is leaking out to worry about the future. Probably worrying about whether I need to try hard to do this, that or the other tomorrow or the day after. And what if I try hard and I don't achieve what I'm trying to achieve? It's all utter madness when you consider what I've just said. A normally minded person turns up to their life as a spit. That's about the height of it. Now, if you spit on the ground, it'll dry up very quickly. The waves of universal energy will not ripple on a spit. Now, if people actually take offense at my analogy there, I don't care. I'm trying to get a message across, and the message is really, really simple today. What you need to do is turn up to your life. What you need to do is develop your ability to turn up to your life through paying attention to your five senses. The most effective and efficient way of doing that is through meditation. Granted, you'll probably only pay attention to maybe one or two of your senses when you're meditating, but it is in paying attention to one or two of your senses that you heighten your ability to pay attention to the reality of what you're seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, and tasting when you're not meditating. You know, I had a conversation with somebody a couple of days ago, and he said, oh, some guru had told him that you meditate to meditate. I said, that's rubbish. You meditate for a purpose. You meditate to train your mind to enable you to be present. He said, but you're supposed to experience an altered state of mind when you're meditating. I said, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I mean, there's all this nonsense about nirvana. And as somebody said to me a few years ago, are you enlightened? And I said, how the hell would I know? And even if I were, what is it to you? It's your life that you need to grab by the scruff of the neck. It's your life that you need to turn up to in any event. This guy said to me a couple of days ago, he said, but surely you experience a presence of mind and a flow when you're meditating. And that's what you meditate for, if you meditate for anything other than just meditating. I said, yeah, but that's not the reason you meditate. You meditate to be cool, calm, and collected and know what's going on while you're meditating. So that when you're not meditating, you can be cool, calm, and collected, know what's going on, and simply and effortlessly, without trying, do what you need to do in that particular now, to which your meditation has enabled you turn up. Are the pieces falling into place here? I meditate in the morning because it enables me to become present. I am present through the day so that during the course of the day, I am open to opportunity. I set my mind, talked about that a few minutes ago in handwriting, I set my mind, set my inner compass, so I know the direction in which I want a project to go or the grand project of my own life to go. So now I've turned up and I know the direction in which I really, or my heart desires that I travel. So I will see opportunities, and I'll see opportunities for what they are. Synchronicities, things that I need right now, people that I need to enable me move forward, bits of information that I need to enable me move forward, phone calls that I get out of the blue from somebody who, as it transpired, completely transformed that client's business as a result of her having that dream client as a client. The fact of the matter is, as always, it's only thought that stands between you and greatness. People often say to me that they get in their own way, and I say to them, you're being too hard on yourself. You need to lighten up. You need to chill out. You're not getting in your own way. It's just your thoughts that are getting in your own way. Stop feeding them. Stop paying attention to them. Start paying attention to what is real, to what you're seeing, to what you're feeling, to what you're hearing, to what you're smelling, to what you're tasting. Come into the real world and go with the flow that you create as a result of your coming into the real world. If you turn up to your own life, you never know what you'll find.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-horton.com.